This election night, C-SPAN delivers something different. Not just the presidential race, but the state races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. Follow C-SPAN Tuesday, November 5th on TV, online, or on the free C-SPAN Now video app.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
How do you talk to your children about racism? Do you ever strike up the conversation? Maybe it's just something you've talked to them about if they themselves have had a personal experience. Well, Bethan O'Riordan and Steph McSherry, who are the hosts of the Mum Mind podcast, are with me in studio today because this is something that you've spoke to both of your kids about quite recently. It's a topic you've been discussing. Why did you decide to chat to them about this, Bethan?
So on the Mum Mind podcast, we try and talk about subjects that parents find really tricky to talk about. And through our Instagram page, we ask parents, do you know how to talk to your kids about race? Do you know how to talk about racism? And most people came back and said, no, we don't know. So I thought, right, well, we need to find the experts who can help us talk about race and racism. And that's how the podcast started, because we're white women. So our interpretation of racism is totally different from talking to someone from within the community. So we needed help. We needed expert guidance. We needed parents to. So we interviewed a mum and we interviewed Emer O'Neill, who helped inform us of the things we need to be saying and doing to help our children.
So is a lot of it, Steph, about, I suppose, how to talk to children, you know, maybe in an age appropriate context is...
Yeah, and I think we've got very good in our schools of talking about things when there is an issue. Maybe when something happens, we address that issue. But when maybe it's better that we talk to kids before there's an issue, before there's a problem. So, you know, maybe using different books, the same but different, talking about different skin colours in a very factual way. Maybe introducing that to younger children means that we don't then have issues later on in school life.
How do parents respond?
I think parents find it difficult. I think this is one of those subjects. You know, it's like we don't really like talking about the birds and the bees. We find it a tricky subject to talk about. And if we find it tricky, we tend to shy away from it. But if we don't talk about it, who is going to talk about it?
Connor Buckley from the Human Collective is with us as well in studio. Connor, like, is this something you've had a personal experience of?
Yeah, I have indeed. From a young age, I remember getting called names. My mum had a great way. So my mum was a famous activist called Christine Buckley. And she had a great way of approaching any type of racist comments. So I remember my brother coming home crying one day. And he said, "Mum, why can't we look like everyone else? Why do we have to be different?" And that's a common language used by children around 6 to 9 years of age. And my mum could have watered down his colouring because my dad's white, my mum's black. But instead, she said, "Isn't it great that you look different? That's what makes the world a special place." So I think we need to celebrate differences, different heritages. I don't like the word race. Race is a social construct. Racism is real. So race is actually been created. Racism is real. And what I mean by that is we're all made up of, we're all human beings. There's only one race, the human race. If you think of it like that. But we talk about different races, but there's only one race, the human race. So I like talking about different cultures, different heritages, different backgrounds. That's what makes it really special. And I think you can celebrate that to children. I think you can make that something as part of like identity in a sense. And my mum said, "Imagine you look like everyone else, Dara. Yeah. The world would be so boring. It's great that you look different." Oh. So she really embraced that. And as a role model, what she went on to achieve is quite incredible. But as a role model, she really, really... When, like when she'd come into the schoolyard or whatever, she was really proud, which was amazing. So she was really proud of the colour of her skin. That made us proud. So I think I think as role models, parents with mixed heritage, they have to celebrate that as well. They have to be really proud of it.
Yeah, the confidence, I suppose, to be proud of.
Exactly,
it
she
well.
Owned it. She made it like that's your superpower.
Yeah, like, you know, when you think about it, and even for people that don't have or maybe have never had an experience of this stuff, like in a world that is just increasingly being torn apart and affected by conflict, there probably is an onus and a pressure on all parents now to have age-appropriate conversations with children about this.
Yeah, because we found, even through social media, you see the war that's going on at the moment and you see this othering of people by what the scarves they're wearing or the headscarves. And if that's becoming okay on social media, then that filters through into kind of school life, that it's okay to be othering other kids when it's not okay. You know, like you said, we're all part of the same human race. We need to make sure. We had a mum on the podcast talking about the fact that her preschooler was sat next to a child who said, "I'm not sitting next to you because your skin is the colour of poo." Well, he didn't get that from his head. He learned that somewhere. And that school handled it brilliantly. And the mum really helped in that situation because she made sure that she addressed it with that whole family. And those two kids ended up being really good friends.
Brilliant. How did the school handle it brilliantly, Steph, you mentioned?
Because they had open conversations about why did you say that? And where did you hear that? And why, you know, why... I remember Emma explaining to us, it's just a skin colour. It's just, you know, there's more melatonin in the melanin. Wrong one. Yeah. More melanin in his skin than there is in yours, and being very factual about it. Yeah,
I suppose too, Beth, and like the fact that, you know, in the last 4 years, we've had children from other countries seeking refuge, joining classrooms up and down the length and breadth of Ireland. Like, these are probably conversations that are happening at the kitchen table at home every day. More than they would have over the previous decade. I mean, children are probably seeing now as well, I'm sure, what's happening in Gaza. They've access to phones, they've pictures that I'm sure that they've come across in the newspapers, even in the shop, you know, that they're walking past. So I suppose it is something maybe to encourage parents to talk about.
Yeah, because I think, you know, children don't know how to have the language for something until we show them the way. I always say parents are the change child needs. We expect children to change, but they only change through the education around them. And like, even since starting this podcast series, I've had to figure out my unconscious biases because we see them everywhere. Who are in our schools? The teachers, society, government. Is there diversity? Perhaps we need a lot more so we know that everybody is equal because we see everybody everywhere.
I was just going to say, Connor, you know, probably conversations like this actually mean that parents have to examine their own bias and
we
prejudice
all do.
As well.
For like, yeah. First and foremost, I do talks in schools and multinational companies, and first thing I ask is anyone biased in the room? We all are. We're products of our media, we're products of our family.
Might want to admit it, but I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to question, where do those biases come from? You know, I really agree with Benton and Steph there. Like, what's quite interesting is, like, that conversation, a boy said that to me growing up, the exact same line. We've never met before, by the way.
Right, okay.
And my mum said, "I'm not discussing it with the boy who's in our house. I'm discussing it with their parents." She called over to the parents and said, yeah, "I'm just letting you know your boy, because it's not his fault." So those conversations need to happen. So Ireland is an amazing place at the moment. It's multicultural, which is brilliant. But how do we be intercultural? And that's when different communities engage, because we don't want that othering that you're talking about, Steph.
Yeah.
You know, we want that assimilation when people are engaged. And I think sport's a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people, and I asked one of my friends, why do you think, he was talking about a group of guys saying very racist remarks from really good backgrounds, you know, and so why do you think that is? It's because they've never engaged with anyone outside their bubble. So how do we get people engaging? Well, sport's great, food's great, anything like that where it brings people together, because then you realise you've actually got way more in common than you thought you did. And that's really important. So there's a company I worked with, I won't name them on air, but they talked about how when you start with this multinational tech company, you end up having to have a coffee with 10 different people, because you may never have had a conversation with somebody who's Indian, who's Muslim or whatever it is. And all of a sudden you realise, wait a second, I've actually got a lot more in common. Because we mightn't think that, because we've got stereotypes in our head because of what we're fed from media or whatever it is.
Well, what do you think, just to strip it back for a moment, Connor, like, I'm thinking of parents maybe tuned into us today and maybe they have heard their child come out with or use language or say something racist at home, inappropriate words or language. What is your advice to them on how they should address that?
You know what? Whether it's someone who's a child or someone who's an adult, I try and remain really calm because I can get annoyed by it. And I say, where did you hear that? Or, for example, you might hear someone say something like, black people are on the TV or Indian people are on the TV and go, oh, they're taking all our jobs. What jobs are they taking? So I try and unravel the conversation
probe
like that.
Probe it a little bit.
Yeah, just to get an understanding. And all of a sudden they'll you know, I had someone recently say to me, well, they're taking all our jobs in the medical profession. They're doctors. I said, oh, sorry, did you study medicine? And they've taken your job. Is that what happened? No, they haven't studied medicine. So it's this, you know, you're trying to get them to unravel their bias instead of saying, you can't say that. How dare you say that?
Yeah.
So I try and take that approach. And I have three young children myself. And if they said something like that, 4, 3, and 1, so they're not past that, that stage. And quite interesting, actually, they've got black dolls, but they would never refer to their dolls as black. They'd say, well, you pass me my doll with the pink bag there. It's quite interesting, even though like the skin's the biggest organ in the body, they'd never actually see it like that, you know? And I showed them pictures of my mum. They'd never comment on her skin colour. Yeah. It's quite interesting, you know? So I'd always try and break it down to where did you hear that and why do you think like that?
And tease it out with them and talk it through. Interesting text in from Aoife. I'm listening to the chat today. She says, my son always asks when we're meeting somebody new, what colour are they? He's 4.5. He just sees it as a colour. Lots of different nationalities, I should say, in the creche that he's in. I'm wondering if your panel has any advice.
Well, to be honest, I much prefer that than the race thing. I'm not sure France have banned the word race from the dictionary because that just, again, changes people. It's like, and I'm probably why I'm passionate on that. 60 years ago, there was in first world countries like America, black people were dying because they didn't have black blood in the hospital. That's like, think about that. 60 years ago, black people were dying because they didn't have black blood because we only got white blood. Sorry, we can't do blood transfusion. So that's why I like to talk about, it's important to talk about race. That is interesting because, I'd probably tease it out to hear, why would you think about skin colour? Because I have a 4-year-old and they've never mentioned, 4.5-year-old actually, and they've never mentioned skin colour. Maybe he's been around more diverse people. I don't think necessarily that's a bad question to ask because a bit like what Eimear O'Neill was saying, it's to do with melanin in your skin, you know? And if you celebrate difference and think about like, oh, they've spent more time in this skin or their parents or their grandparents spent more time in the sun, that changes the conversation as opposed to they're a different race to us, you know?
And certainly when they're 4.5, I'd be curious at that. Asking the questions, why are you asking that question? You know, are you curious about what hair colour they've got? Are you curious about, you know, what clothes they're going to be wearing? Tease it out a little bit. Yeah. Like 4.5 is very young.
Yeah. Beth, the kind of questions, I suppose, from parents, what advice did you arrive at?
Oh, so much. I think to look inwardly at your soul first, and that sounds awful therapy chat, I know, but we all have unconscious bias, okay? We just do. And if you can look at yourself, and we all have a shadow self, we all have parts of ourselves that we want to hide, that we don't want anyone to know about us. But if you can peep into them, then they don't become the hatred in your child.
If you want to get more information or to listen back, I suppose, to some of the issues that have been addressed, you can do it. It's the Mum Mind podcast, joined today by Bethan O'Riordan, Steph McSherry, and also as well to Conor Buckley. Thanks a million to you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
In studio, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.